If I may add to that, because I think it's important to highlight that kind of enemy that was in that land. In the case of Abraham, the Canaanite were the prominent people in the land. When we come to Isaac, it seems that the Philistines are the prominent people in the land. Both of them are opposing to what God have for his people. Though the enemy might change in character, God is still the same. And I think as Abraham relied on God, as we have heard about the coming generation, there is no other resources to rely on. The enemy might change character, but God himself. They are a very fascinating group of people. As we have heard, the first time you read about them is in Genesis 10. They are the descendant of Mizraim, who is a descendant of Ham. And then you don't read anything until you come to Genesis chapter 20. And then we have heard about Abimelech, the king of Gerar. The first thing that they do, they take Sarah out. That's what he did. They took Sarah out. This is their character. And let's now follow and see what they do, because they are trying to rob the people of God of what God had given them. So they take Sarah out. That's Genesis chapter 20. When we come to this chapter here, they take Rebekah. It was Isaac's fault. But then they take the wells. They put dirt in them. They stop the flow of, if we take the example that the wells are the word of God or the spirit of God, it depends how you want to look at it. They stop the activity, the influence of the word of God. They put dirt in their earthly things that could drag people down, not the source of refreshment and power. So they take the wells out. And then what they do, they envy. It said about them that, and the Philistines envied Isaac. They have this idea of trying to take what does not belong to them. You always have heard that there is a difference between envy and jealousy. Envy is trying to take what you don't have. Jealousy is to try to protect what you have. God is a jealous God. Jealousy is a good thing. Envy is a bad thing. So they take the water. If you go further on, they see their encounter with Samson. And there, what did they do? They robbed the people of God from the separation and subjection by cutting Samson's hair. That's what the Philistines do. They tear down the idea of separation. A Nazarite is a separated unto God in complete obedience and subjection to God. They take that character from them. And I think it's in 1 Samuel 13 or so, they robbed the children of Israel from the weapons, from the arms. They took the swords and the spears. They would not have any smith in the land that could handle these things or fix these things to fight with them. That's what the Philistines are. David took care of them. And only until David comes, the Philistines are going to be around. He took care of their mighty man. He cut his head off. And you don't read about the Philistines after David, really, but maybe an obscure mention of them in 2 Kings or so, or in 2 Chronicles. But David took care of them completely. And that is really the whole idea. This idea of religious flesh isn't there. But how God sees them, he told Abimelech in Genesis chapter 20, you are a dead man. You are a dead man. That's how God sees those Philistines. Let's look at them again. What is the worldview that we have? How do we see things? We see the Philistines as God sees them, dead man. And what did David say about the Philistines? This uncircumcised Philistines. That's how God viewed them. They're dead. They are uncircumcised. They are full of the flesh that try to control the people of God and rob the people of God from their things. And here we learn the lesson. How is the one who is going to overcome them? It is Isaac by the help of the Lord.
Yes, they also take the food. Brother Emel, like I think of the threshing floors, robbing the idea is that they take what is for the refreshment or for the food of the people of God, the source. They will stop up the source or rob from the people of God. And so when we look at this chapter before us, it's the wells. It's interesting when you look at the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how we see different things associated with them. With Isaac, it's the wells. With Abraham, the altars. With Jacob, the pillar. Well, they may have altars and wells too, but the emphasis with Isaac is the wells. Jacob, you know, he's a picture of God's work of discipline in the life of a believer or in the people of Israel, and there's pillars. With Abraham, we saw, is a picture of the principle or feature of faith, of election, of the call of God. And there it's the altar. And here with Isaac, he's the risen, a picture of the risen man, the heavenly man, the son of promise. And therefore I suspect that's why the brothers had Ephesians chapter 1 brought before us. And we get the wells. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit given. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have the ascended head who gives gifts to the body of Christ to build up the people of God. And so it's amazing as we come to this chapter, we see that the Philistines do what is against nature, or what would be for their own benefit even. You know, water is valuable, especially in these countries. I mean, it's a source of life. Yet it was to their own hurt that they stopped them up. But when they see Isaac, you know, the one who pictures the heavenly man, the risen man, who, unstopping the wells, as you say, Brother Emo, it's envy for what the Lord has given. And so may the Lord help us as we explore this a little more.
We have from the characters of the Genesis practical and practical application and theme in the New Testament. We can see in Abraham the election and calling. We can see in Isaac the sonship and inheritance. And we can see in Jacob two things, the two nature in the believer and also the discipline of the father according to his righteousness. And God succeed in his working through the life of Jacob as if the Lord's will we see in the third session. When we look to verse 12, the verse we started our study this session from Genesis 26, we read that Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. May one ask, why Isaac reached this wonderful success in his reaping? We must not think that he had a good experience in sowing, or he may export new good seeds to give such amount of reaping, or he had his men who had an experience in sowing and reaping. Nothing of this. One more thing. This happened after a time of weakness in the life of Isaac, after he lied before Abimelech and said about his wife that she is his sister. And we think that after our sin, we expect that the Lord may punish us. We may lose many things spiritually and materially. But the thoughts of the Lord is not like our thoughts. His thoughts is above our thoughts. Why Isaac sowed and reaped a hundredfold? There is no problem when we return back to the beginning of chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3. Verse 3 said, the Lord said to him, dwell in the land, and I will be with you and bless you, and for you and your descendant I give this land. The Lord promised him that he will bless him. And the last portion of verse 12, we read that, and the Lord bless him. He promised him to bless him, and the Lord is faithful to fulfill his promise. And we thank God because of his faithfulness. And even we, many times, we are faithless, but the Lord keep himself as a faithful one who must fulfill his promise, not because we are worthy, but because he is faithful. Mm-hmm.